and said, they're going to see me sometime. And he got kind of off after he married. I don't know what happened, so I just don't know. They won't write, they won't do nothing. So I don't know who to contact. They won't even let me know who contact about my money and nothing.
Well, if I can, if I can help in any way, maybe I can try to call somebody up there.
But I think that, I don't think it's fair.
At least have somebody give you a call and let you know what
happened. We ain't sold it, ain't sold the family, ain't did this, and ain't done that. And he told me, I said, well, I want you to get your money the next 2-3 days. I ain't got that money until today.
Well, that's, I don't think he works for the Smithsonian anymore.
He don't.
Yeah, he does.
His job ended, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, his job ended.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so it...
It ended so quick after he married.
But I think what I could do, we could give a call to somebody who's still up there and find out. We'll ask about it. That's terrible.
Well, it did. And I won't mention it to, I haven't mentioned it to nobody. I just kept it in. I just give it to God. That's what I said, Lord.
Now, did you work with Joe Wilson?
Yes, real nice.
He's nice.
Still, them's nice. Stay nice. I just ain't got my money. I mean, the money I'm supposed to get, I just ain't got it. And
now Joe Wilson would have been with the other folk festival,
National Folk Festival. Mm-hmm.
It wasn't him.
No, was when I was with Smithsonian, the first one.
Okay,
first one. That's when we went to Bailey. That's when we made the picture. That's when that happened. And I asked him, I told Mr. Wilson, I don't want my name in no paper about singing no blues or doing no dancing. And they put it in the paper. And I told him indefinite, because I've had trouble with my church. They still owe me about it. And I'd be done if they didn't put it in the paper.
Did the church find out?
Yeah, they know it. They owe me just like everything.
We have, I don't know if you've ever heard of a lady named Ida Goodson.
I know her.
Do you?
You do. Mm-hmm.
Well, see, she's coming. She came to our festival last year, and she's coming this year again.
Mm-hmm.
And she kind of has the same trouble because, she used to play a lot of blues. And she doesn't play much anymore. She played for the festival, but we had to be real careful about not letting her. She's a choir director now, too, like you. And, I'm glad you know her.
Yeah, I know her.
How'd you meet her?
I met on the road years ago. So I stayed, I met on years ago. So I've been here, it's a 60 right here in Bradenton. I know her. But I know most all the old times way back then. So back in the 30s, way back then. Yeah.
How did you get started in show business?
Is it on?
Well, I had a broken family. That's the first beginning. And first with my stepmother, first with my mother, and then with somebody else, and then with somebody else, one of those things. And I used to go to Silas Green Minstrel. And I thought those Coast Girls was the prettiest things I ever seen in my life, And I said, I want to be one of them kind of girls, too. And so finally, I just kept that in my mind. I guess that was intended. I just kept that in my mind. And everything I'd see them do, I'd go right behind the tent or go to my home and do the same thing. But I couldn't do it like them, but I would try, And I kept that up and kept that up. And so Marsh Miller's United Gillis Show was in Sophie, West Virginia. And I slipped off and went over there. And I ran away with that show when I was 13 years old. And I stayed with them about 6 or 7 months, I think it was. They thought I was a little boy, because I wore boy clothes. They called me Rastus, because I didn't let nobody know I was a little girl. And I used to carry water for people and all that kind of different thing like that, And then I would, I stayed with them till the season closed. Then I heard about another show. I got my little suitcase and I walked to the other one. I just went, just kept on going, just kept on from different places. I'd see this and I like that, and I see you do something and I try to imitate you. I see you do something, I try to imitate. That's where I started. And so then I went to Vincennes, Illinois, where that is. I went to Vincent and Laws on Caesar's Mighty Midway shows, and a lady producer, she lived in Jacksonville, I know about the South at that time, and she taken a liking to me. She said, "This is a cute little old boy." They thought I was still in there, girl. And I had my little dress on up on my overhauls and had my brother's shoes and whatnot, you know. And so one day I was, she said, "Honey, you hungry?" And I said, "Yes, I'm hungry." She gave me something to eat. And she gave me a wash basin to wash my hands. And I went to wash my hands. Do you know a man and a woman washes their hands different?
No.
Yeah, they really do. And when I started washing my hands, she said to her husband, said, "This ain't no boy, this is a girl." And my heart was warm. I said, "What's it?" "No." I said, "This is a girl. So look how she washed her hands."
And how do girls
do that? See, a woman washes her hand this way, and a man washes his hand and slings his hand. And that's how she found out that I was a girl. She said, "Baby, I'm going to take you and keep you and call you my child." And she kept my stay with her about 5 years. And she trained me. Bless her heart, she's dead and gone. And that's how I got up. And then I left them. I went on John Francis' convoy. I stayed there for a while. I left there on Isaac Grater's convoy. I left there and I stayed on D. Wolf's convoy. And I left there and I went to Roy Hague's circus, but I didn't like that circus business. I couldn't stand all that scent and all that junk. So then I said, and I got on the medicine show. I said, I don't know, something just an appeal. I got some friends right here was on the medicine show with me, too. I said, "This something appeal to me. I just wasn't satisfied. I wanted to get something that's recognized, something big. I just wanted something like that. I guess that was just in me, you know?" And so I stayed on there, so I kept once. I went into Lake Charles, Louisiana, and I found a little home talent show there. The Lutcher family. Nella Lutcher's out in Los Angeles now. She's one of the greatest musicians, piano players it is in history. And I stayed with them a long time. So Rabbit Foot came in there, and they heard about the voice I had and the talent, how I looked. And they came looking for me. And so Miss F.S. Walcott got me. And I stayed with them, and that's where, and then I was getting $5 a night. Oh, I was making plenty of money. $5 a night, that was something. Great big picture of me out there in front of that just tickled me to death. And I come as close and show. And I stayed with them 11 years with the Rabbit Foot, every summer for 11 years. Then I left with them. Then I went on All-Star Minstrel.
And
All-Star Minstrel. Then I left them and I went then with Sammy Green out of Atlanta. And I left Sammy Green and went with the Sugarfoot Green. And then I left them and I stayed on South Green for a year and 6 months. And then I went to working with bands. I said, "I don't want this and I'm tired of this." And I went to working with different bands, Duke Ellington and all them different bands. And that's how I got up.
Well, how old were you when you went off?
13. Mm-hmm. 13.
And then how old were you when you were with the Rabbit Foot Minstrels
for so long? Oh, I don't know. I never kept up with them ages, but I do know I ran away from home at 13 years old. And I went on Rabbit Foot in 1937. I went on and I stayed over 11 years, still from 37 to 47.
So, through the war?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And then I worked with George Burns, air shows and whatnot, and Sarah Vaughan, all them different people, Kate Smith, and Sophie Tucker, and all them, and back in the vaudeville days. I worked in vaudeville Keith time, QBA Circus time. This isn't where it was a show I was at.
Were you always a singer?
Oh, yes. But now I ain't go, like some people say, they started from church. I didn't. Mm. I didn't. I started from blues, and I just joined church since I've been here in 1962. I didn't stop from no church like some of the people. I ain't know about no church until I joined church in 1962. But I enjoy it. I love it, you know. And I've had good days, and I've had bad days. And I used to sleep on the empty houses, sleep between logs, look rain in my face. I used to go down the river and eat half-done food, everything to know what I know today. Mm-hmm. And I thank God for it. See, I had, something good in me that the Lord won't let me live to see 80 years old. See, I praise Him for that. So I have had it good and I've had it bad. I've had my ups and I've had my downs. And I'm still having more up-downs than I have up, but it's all right. See, I let people do me any kind of way because God take care of me. He feeds me, He sleeps me, He wakes me up. So let's go right on.
And what, when you were traveling back then, what was your stage name?
Mary Smith.
Mary Smith.
I went in my stepfather's name. Uh-huh. See, they called me Walking Mary, but I don't like that name.
They called you what?
Walking Mary. Said, but I don't like that name. She said, I used to go walking where I wanted to go, but I don't like it now since I got older and joined church. I don't like all them old wild names. So I asked them not to do it, but Barney would call me Walking Mary. Spotted everything could be done. I told him, I don't like it because such it don't look good. And so I said, that was my name. They called me Walking Mary.
Because you danced as well as that.
Oh, yes, I did comedy. I did strips. I did everything. Some bronze dance. I've done a little bit all of it.
What's a bronze dance?
A bronze dance, that's when you do shake dancing. You'd have mineral oil and a big old tub, you know, and gold pink. And just put all in that mineral oil, just grease it all over. And you put a cap on here and had rubber caps. Put all that stuff in there, what you call the bronze dance, and your costume would be painted with that oil. It'd have to have a different one, all, you know. And that oil was so heavy and all that stuff. It takes so long to get it off of you, and you'd be so sore when you get it off, and it began to make me sick, and I stopped it. But it was very pretty, and on the lights, it was beautiful. I had a whole work, you know, and I closed the whole, I had about 65 girls in the chorus line. And said I had to close that bronze. And that way you see that oil and that stuff, you know. And so it got too heavy, it was just making me sick, and so I stopped. And then I was doing comedy, and that makeup would make me sick. So I had to stop. It just broke me out and just peeled me. So I had to stop all of that. So then the lady said, Miss Evelyn, Rain told me, she said, you got too good a voice to do all this type of stuff, and you got no business being in a chorus line. So she took me to an MC. They used to call her Prima Donna. And so she stopped me to MC and started me singing specials. And that's where I started from there. So I stayed in show business 32 years. I retired right here. 32 years I stayed in show business. And that wasn't today. That wasn't a little bit of time either, was it? But I didn't go to school like the children going. All mine come in here. And my head, all of mine, you know. And I'd go to school half a day. Somebody give me a quarter, something like that. And then I would listen to other people taught me how to read and write. And I always loved old people from a child. And they would teach me, you know. And that's the education that I got. I haven't been a whole session of school in my life.
Well, how did you learn how to play the piano?
I can't play the piano.
Oh, no. She just sings. Did when you were traveling with Rabbit Foot Minstrels, how many people would travel in the minstrels?
It was 165 in the cast.
Wow.
That's included the canvassmen and the officers, you know, the businessmen, and 65 on the show. See, and they had the first part and then the second part, and they had the concert. But I was lucky enough to know enough to close the whole show. The whole show was built around me, and I closed the whole show. So they would wait for that concert after the big show would have the first, second half. And they wait for it, and I closed the whole show. And it run in my luck, I was with Irving C. Miller a long time. I went Bronze Matkins a long time. And with running my luck, all them shows that were built around me, I had to close every one of them. Every one of them, I had to close them.
What were your favorite numbers?
Well, at that particular time, Walking Blues was my favorite numbers. I wrote it myself. And,
did you really?
Uh-huh. And I just gave a little kid a song here, this not too long ago I wrote. And my number I love, you look down the lonesome road. You know, that was an invitation of life. And I love that lonesome road. And I would do lonesome road, look down the lonesome road. And if I started saying look down that lonesome road, you say, well, she's sure gone, but I sure was gonna leave. I wouldn't stay, honey. It'd make me mad. I'd be gone somewhere else. So that's how I made it.
Did maybe they call you Walkin' Mary because you wrote the Walkin'?
They did. A friend, he's dead and gone now, Eddie, when he said, Walkin' Mary, and I was going to sing the Walkin' Blues, and people would just fall out. So I wrote it myself, and I gave it to Jane McChan. So they told me about some waxing. I ain't know about no waxing, no nothing. And so I gave them, he made a fortune off of it. Mm-hmm. So I wrote a spiritual not too long ago well, 3 years ago. Not been that long since I been got hurt, since our film got hurt. And I gave it to some little children. Christmas Eve, the robot came in, I got a copyright and everything. I told Steve them about it, and I was up there, but they looked like they weren't concerned about it. And I gave it to them.
So you're still writing today?
Huh? No, I just wrote that I ain't writing no more.
No? Yeah.
Because it's too hard. I can't get nothing out of it. Nobody. I don't want to finance it, so I don't fool with it. I just sit down. Well, I got hurt. This song came to me when I fell. Got hurt so bad. And so it is word by word, word by word. So
you hurt your hip, didn't you?
I hurt this right foot, this foot, clean on up. It just tore all the tissues and whatnot out of it. And for about 2 weeks, they first put in a temporary cast. They said it wasn't nothing wrong with me. They come doing one of these things. And about 2 weeks afterwards, I was sitting down and I got so sick. I was coming to vomiting. I got deathly sick. And I said, Lord, I'm going to die. I was in the church. And I came home. But when I fell, it just dead in this whole side. I fell by as far as from here out of that door out of the concrete room, out on the concrete porch. I just whopped just like that. See, when I fell, and I raised my neck, and I twisted the valve on my heart. And it kept getting bad, So they put this foot in a cast, stayed in cast 6 weeks. And that then they took it off and put it in another cast. And then they put it in a boot. And put in another cast and stood in there. It looked like I was walking on a ball. And I sat down here one night about 10 o'clock in the night, and I looked down. I was hurting, so and I got one of another six spells came on me. And the thing is, and I looked at my thigh, this thigh had got this big all the way up. And I looked down and I saw them little purple mess on me, looked like mud or something. I said to my husband, I said, what is this on me? I said, why I get all this junk? He said, I don't know. I said, give me some water and water. I'm trying to walk. And it had sis enough though, I had a blood clot coming out. And that thing that I got in here, I got cleaned up the head with all that sickness I had. And that's all I can remember. I was in a coma 8 days. I don't know nothing. So they said I wasn't going to live. And on top of that blood clot, I had a semi heart attack with that blood clot. They just know that I wasn't going to live from that fall, you know. And I got a raw deal out of that, but it's all right. You know, so now that leg bothers me. So now the mirror's on that part, that leg ain't going into this one now. Mm-hmm. So I can't wear no more high heel shoes. That's the highest heel I can wear now. Mm-hmm. So the doctor said I would be on a walker all of my life. I never walk without a walker or a crutch without walking. Mm-hmm. I go where I want to go. So he said I'll never be able to sing what I'm singing, sing what I want to say, you know. But you know, I was a big woman. I was weighing 200, when you saw me, 269 pounds. I don't weigh 156 now. So the doctor said I lost too much weight, not to be taking, reducing. See, I'm losing. Now that's what they're worried about now. So my weight's, I'm losing too much weight. So my balance is not too good. I can't balance myself too good like I want to. See, I hit my head, made an octave, caused my eyesight kind of bad. So I have to look down. I can't look off too far and see anything. I can't see no from here in my grandmother's picture. See, oh, that's her right there. That's my grandmother right there.
Well, you look terrific. I mean, I would never know you look terrific. I knew you'd lost some weight. I didn't realize how much.
Well, they just thought that. They just knew it. And this is my mother right here.
What was her name?
Mary.
Mary?
Her name Mary. Mary Ann. Her name is.
And then who's that up there?
That's me.
Is that you when you were back when you were performing?
I was 52 years old then.
Oh, wow. That's terrific.
And that's when my brother, that's my baby brother, died in 69 right over there.
Right there. Oh, and here's the newspaper article. Uh-oh.
Is that the one you
uh-oh.
That's okay. One when they discovered me. No, that's, uh-uh. I got some of them here, though, somewhere in the church. I got some of them here.
Well, what other tunes would you sing when you were with the...
Well, you see, when you're on those shows. All those one-nighters, those shows, you had to sing what they want you, different. See, it's been so long with just different songs, you know, whatever you learn. They would rehearse you, and you had to sing what they wanted you to sing, you know what I mean? But it ain't like that people going to school, all that kind of junk. I didn't have to go to school for nothing. Mm-hmm. And see, what I'm saying is pitiful now, the work we had to do. You had to rehearsal. Sometimes I would have to rehearse all night long without any food or anything to get a song. You see what I'm saying? Then wasn't getting nothing paid. At least you do a little bit of holler, not and they'll stop. See, well, they ain't like that anymore. You know what? And it's whatever they wanted us to do. We had to rehearse that chorus or whatnot. We had to go over that. We just had that. We just had to do that. Now, bottom that killed me year before last. I turned to Bailey. Them people like to rehearse me to death. Like, mm-hmm. And I was so sore and so tired, going over this, going over that, crossing over there. Mm-hmm. I was so tired, but I enjoyed it, you know. Mm-hmm. But you had to rehearse. You just had to. You couldn't just jump up and do, you know. Mm-hmm. But now these children, they'll holler a little bit and they'll stop. Well, I couldn't do that. Because yeah. If them times they did, I guess I'd have been a millionaire by now.
Mm-hmm. Well, would they, I guess, the managers would bring in new songs and say...
The producer would bring in the songs, what he wanted and how he wanted it done. A picture number, and had to leave that picture number of a choruses and whatnot. But now, like you are a specialist, now you sing what you want to sing, but you still had to rehearse it. See, at that my day, you had to have them, what they call bird eyes. See, you couldn't just go and sing, just, you know what I mean, you just had to have that music up there. But you had to sing it over with them to let them know how you wanted it to get out, get the veil out of like you wanted.
And what is bird eye? What do you mean?
That's music. Okay. It's in Chopin, they call them bird eyes. You know, like the do re mi the notes. They call them bird eyes. See? Mm-hmm. And I was on Roy Hayes Circus. Oh, praise the Lord. And we went Fed, West Virginia. I think it's Fed, West Virginia. I had never heard of Sardine, we call Chorus Girls. So the night they went out and played a dance after the show, they was going out, they was tearing down. And they all came in and they was talking, the band and whatnot. Someone said, well, I got Chorus Girls, I'm with the Chorus Girls tonight. Sometimes I was laying up there listening, in the little bunk listening, you know. I said, nah, the Chorus Girl. I know I'm a Chorus Girl, but I ain't letting folks eat me. I didn't know what they were talking about, you know. Didn't know because they didn't teach me those things. And I left. I got out there and got me a little lantern and got me some clothes and a paper sack. And I walked through the woods in the rain and the heat in the ditches to got down to Fed down in the town. And it was a juke cross over there. And I heard the little thing playing. And I went over there and I sat there. And they looked at me so funny. And so they said, you want some? I said, no, I'm scared to death. You know, they're so scared. And so finally she said, oh, I saw you out to the circus. I said, shh, you don't say nothing. I told them I had to run off. Or they tell me they'd make you go back. And the lady hid me, and I stayed there with her 2 weeks. She said, why'd you leave? I said, they said it's going to eat the Chorus Girls, and I wasn't going to let them eat me. They talk about sardines. Today call sardines Chorus Girls, and I didn't know. Huh, I left that circus. I know that I wanted them people to eat me. And then people had a time, so when they found out, they got the police search, I was missing. And they were looking for me everywhere. So finally, I came out and said, here I am. And they said, why are you leaving? And I said, well, they said they're going to eat the Chorus Girl, and I wasn't going to let them eat me. And they just had the biggest laugh out, and they could not get me back on that circus. And I ain't like the circus from that day to this. And I don't like nobody's circus. See, what they should have taught me, you know, teach me. I didn't know. And when I went on the carnival, when I first went on the carnival, One of the men said, come here, Curly Top, anything they call me, anything. Say, go over there and tell that lady, I said, give you the key to the midway. Yeah, I'll tow out. I went there. She said, well, that man over there got it. I go, they said, that person. How did I walk? Oh, I grabbed, and you know, Johnny J. Jones, at them years, had a big show. See what I mean? He had a 250-car show. And it took a 3-mile ground the whole that show 3 miles wide and 3 miles long, like you know how it was. How I walked out like the fella out looking for the key to the midway, and I ain't found that key till today. That's how they would test you. Now when you go to a job and ask for a job, ask what can you do, you say, oh, I'm a Chorus Girl. The first thing they'd ask you, could you do the BS course? You don't know what a BS course is. A BS course is soft shoe and buck and wing dance. That's a BS course. Now, if you could do the BS course, soft shoe, the French scissors and the scissors they call, you could get your job. See, that's what they call it. Test you. Did you know that BS course? Or what? Did you know what a BS course? If you say no, you wouldn't get no job. See, but that's what it is, a soft shoe and a an old-fashioned book is called a VS course.
Is that what you would do
At that time, till I learned how to do specials. So yeah. That's what it
is. Now, what kind of specials did you do?
Well, blues. I told you blues. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I did blues comedy a long time, but it made me sick. So they stopped me from doing all those things, you know.
Cause why did it make you sick?
I don't know. This made me sick. This stuff didn't agree with me. You just don't know. You don't know what's going to make you sick. You can eat an apple or anything and make you don't know what's going to make you sick or make you sick. So it just made me sick, and so they said it wasn't for me to do. So they stopped me, and I started saying blues.
When you were doing the comedy, did you work with someone else?
I did stand-up by myself.
You did?
By myself. By my own self. I had my own version of everything. Everything I did was my own. I wanted to do it my way. And I told myself, I think I can do so. And I used to do a wash tub thing. And honey, that was it. I did that thing. And I ain't say for me, I did that thing. And that was it.
What was the wash tub?
I had a red dress, long red ruffles, and a big white ruffle collar, ruffle around the sleeves. A big, quite even a great big white band by that big of the people in the back. And I wore a red and white bandana handkerchief. And I made up and caught. And a long time ago, I used to have old shoes called, funny kind of shoe, way back in. I had a pair of them shoes. And I'd put a bustle on. And I'd have a washboard in a tub. And I would have water in it. And I had some big old panties, about blooms about this big, and I'd be just singing, and I'd do a little talking, watch them blooms, and every now and then I'd take them, bloom and everything, take them, and when I get to the climax, I'd throw them out in the audience.
So you'd be singing all the time, you're washing clothes and throwing them out.
All the time, do that. And so then I had another act I used to get off the stage and walk, and take some old man or some young woman, young man and sit on the lap and sing to him. I started that, and people started. So we was in Hagerstown, Maryland, Salisbury, Maryland, that's where it was. And at that particular time, my hair was way down here. And I was singing that thing, and I had on a beautiful canary yellow evening gown, no sleeves or back was all right. And I sat on that man left alone. That woman finna kill me, gonna kill me. And they had to get to her quick to keep her from killing me, so I stopped doing that. And that was the house. That was the house. Then I had another number I did when it came around. I forgot the words to shake a hand by Faye Adams. I used to do that and did it like I was crying with that. And we was in North Philadelphia, downtown, main Philadelphia, downtown on the square. I was with Bartok at that time, mid-show. And the tent was packed and jammed, some high tents, high stages. And I heard somebody say, come back, Daddy, come back, Daddy. And the man went berserk and jumped up on that stage, girl, and grabbed me and like to choke me to death. And I had tights up under my dress, and you didn't wear slips at that time. And that man tore that dress off of me, and that man chewed my neck and gripped to me, and it took 5 police to beat that man loose for me, and they put me in the hospital for 3 weeks, right in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, like went berserk and liked to kill me. And Doc Barta's daughter, Barbara, right down the stairs, will tell you the same thing to this day. And I stopped that. I stopped it, honey. Yes, ma'am, I stopped it, honey. That man jumped up there, that big old high stage, and he hit that stage like and I didn't know the man was after me. And he hit that stage like you leave, and that tent with his people standing all around, and just, we overwhelmed. And that man went berserk, girl, berserk, and grabbed me and like to kill me. And my throat come out like this here, well, and my eyes popped out, and he just grabbed me and just woo, and just hollered and just grabbed me. And just tore my clothes off me. They had to wrap me up. Some lady run across the street to her house and got a blanket and come and wrap me. He tore all my clothes off me. Yeah. So it was time.
Yeah.
And right here, right here, right down on 9th. It used to be a theater right down there. And they had a midnight rap when I was with Irvin C. Miller at that particular time. And the people out there were just like this. I want to see that blues singer, blah, 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 yeah, yeah, yeah. And them people kicked the door down. Them folks kicked the door down and rushed back in there, was coming on me back in there. And they had to take and push me up under the stage. I had to lay flat on the floor. Couldn't sing. Right here.
This is in Bradenton.
Right here in Bradenton.
Was this like in the late 50s or early 60s? Mm-hmm.
In the 50s.
In the 50s?
Back in the 40s it was. Yeah. Okay. And when I came here in 60, I came here in 60 on the 3rd day of July. I had to leave here to go to Port St. Joe. And I had opened up at the Palms. You couldn't get standing room in no kind of way. And the people got mad, angry, because they couldn't get in and come shooting in the place. That was in the 60s when I came in 1960. That's true. So I've had it, you know. I've had it. I didn't even believe I've had it. I had it, honey. But don't you tell about it. I have had it in my time. But I enjoyed it right on. And people weren't so nice to you. You know, but people are not nice to you now like it used to be. People used to honor entertainers and whatnot, soldiers and things. When they see soldiers come in town, they'd be so happy and respect them, but they don't anymore.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think that is?
Well, it's just a different world now. Mm-hmm. The world has gotten to the place now. Nobody caring about nobody. Look like everybody hates everybody. It's no love. The love is gone. The respect is gone. Even the respect is gone for the United States, for America. It's pitiful. You know, I sit up and listen and hear and read. It's gone. The love is just done vanished. So, I mean, people don't care for nobody but self. You know, hate everybody. It's just like this little baby got killed. Oh, Jesus. Little kid got killed Sunday evening by 6:45. This 14-month-old child was around the house in the yard playing. The mother was asleep. And the man drove up in the yard and turned around and killed that child and run. And they put the mother in jail. Mm-hmm. Said she hadn't been sleeping leaving the child out there. All that stuff has got it today. It's these young people, it's pitiful about these young people. And they just killing their parents here, mm-hmm. robbing, mm-hmm. that dope and all that kind of stuff. It's sad. It's just really sad. They ain't got time to praise the Lord. They're going looking at the watches. Time to go into church, looking at the watches, ready to go. Going to church, sing, praying, shouting, going, go right to the barn and get drunk. That's true. That guy, they're right here. You know what I mean? And that's bad.
Did they, back when you were traveling, I know there's always stories about show people and the, you know, wild life they live. Was there trouble with dope back then?
No. I'll tell you the truth. I never seen, I heard, I work with Billie Holiday. Uh-huh. I work with Beat Maybelle Smith. I did. I work with those people. But I never seen them with that stuff. I tried. I offered to pay them. Let me see, and they wouldn't even do it. So I know they didn't. I know that. But I heard about it, but I know. But it wasn't like it is now. Mm-hmm. They're little children right out, come right out here with it, right out there. 8, 9 years old, right there. But that's right out there. But that's bad. See, that's the parents are not training the children out like they used to. See, when you know, your parents discipline you, they'll teach you, but these people ain't got time. They don't have time to take care of their children. And that's why so much of it's going on. Mm-hmm. And it's just bad. Mm-hmm. And God's getting tired of it. You see what I'm saying? I know two sisters here. There's five of the sisters. And four of the sisters got married to the baby sister because she was more successful than they were. They wouldn't visit her, wouldn't do it. And the older sister, so the baby sister had a massive heart attack and died. Like today's Tuesday. And the older sister was getting ready for trying to rush to have her funeral for the next week, that week or something, and my dog, she didn't die the same next Tuesday. And they buried them both together. See, that's environment, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. So it's just bad.
When you were an entertainer, we've talked to other circus people or people that were in carnival or minstrel shows, that a lot of time there would be clashes or whatever with the townspeople when you'd come into a town to set up to do a show?
What was it?
Some of the like local townspeople, the rough
guys, would they ever try to disrupt the show?
Yeah, the Norks, and that was time when I was in the business, they were afraid because they didn't have the freedom then that they got now. And they know they would get their brains beat out and police would hang them or kill them. Now, even one real thing that did happen, I do know this little money boy that was lynched, in a steel boy that was lynched in Money, Mississippi. Now, we just had played Greenwood, and he talked. He was a retarded child. And he asked me for my autograph. I gave him a picture and an autograph. He gave me his. And the next morning, we were going through Money, Mississippi, going into Greenville, Mississippi. And so Mr. Herndon told us, don't stop on it because they had killed this boy. And we went across the same bridge, and they had him in the middle of the canal, tied on each side, dragging him up and down the river. Say he insulted somebody, but they found out it wasn't true. That's only real. There are two things. And in Rolling Fork, Mississippi, one day about 1 o'clock, we had to make a parade. I had one terrible thing happen to me. I'll tell you about it. And they asked us to go to the parade, and we went. Didn't know what was happening. They made a black boy walk up, and they had some cement ties like this here, and they made him walk up and lay down that fire and burn him up. But what for, I have never known. I know that happened. That was in 1940. That happened. I seen it brought up in daylight. I seen that. So I had a royal blue evening gown cut right across here. Ruffles. Long prince. It was a princess. At that time, you used to wear a princess. Deep ruff like that. And we went to Hampton, Mississippi, to parade that day. And a girl named Evelyn West, she's a very pretty girl. She was the baton. And she was so pretty, so graceful. And them people, we call them the boot man. They had the boots up to here and big old hats. I mean, wearing cowboy hats for 15 years, I know that. And when they introduced Evelyn got out and did her little thing in the circle, making the parade for advertising the show. So I had to ride with Mr. Walcott. Mr. Walcott, by me being the featured attraction, they called me out. And I sang, and we got through. Them people carried us from the little junction for a little store. They have a two-store right from here, right across over there. And they took some oxygen soap and rag and washed our face and tore them clothes off us, made us put on some old motherhood, what I call some kind of old dress, and told them never let them catch us with no more makeup on us. Mm-hmm. And Mr. Walcott sued the town for it. And my face puffed up like that, and my mouth couldn't sing for about a month. It's puffed up in my neck, and that's why they screwed us. And he did that.
Sounds like Mississippi was
the worst place, you know, for blacks at that particular time. So I know these things. And you could not, and Georgia was pretty bad, some places.
Georgia. Yeah.
And after the shows, we were in Georgia, Mississippi, you got off the streets. And if you said you were sick, you had to stay in the house. You couldn't come outdoors. And when you went to town, you two at a time would go to town, you had to go back to your room where you said you better be called out there. Now I know those things because I went through all of that. But thanks be to God, that's the only time I ever had anything happen to me. Mm. All this time. But it was rough. And them people at that time was working. They'd go to their house at 4 o'clock in the morning, knock on their doors, get ready for them to go to the PFE or some kind of something. And if they were sick, they better stay in that house. They better be called on that porch. Now, that's what happened. I know these things to be the truth because I've experienced all that.
What was your territory that you traveled?
Well, most of the time, as usual, I was up in New York as the headquarters, but all these shows, they would come right down south and get this money, go right back up the north and spend it. See, that's what they do, because they wouldn't get the money in the north, they would get in the south. And every time I looked up, it was right back down the same territory over and over and over, you know. And that's what they would do.
So you would go to, Mississippi?
I've been all over. I've been all over, everywhere.
You ever go past the Mississippi, go west?
Yeah, well, I've been somewhere everywhere.
out to California?
I've been a lot in California, London, England, Europe, Asia, Africa, Maine, Spain, everywhere. I've been all them things, on them boats and everything else, you know. But I left them people. See, that's what I'm saying. I got tired of all that, just the same area all the time. You know what I'm saying? Every time you look up, you go right back to the same territory. And I got tired of all of that.
Was that with Rabbit Foot, you mean?
No, I left Rabbit Foot. I left all of them foots, Green Sugar Foot, Green, all of them. So I got independent. See, so then after I got a booking agent, so they were the sensitive woman, I'm saying, Smitty, because you go to Sister City Place for so many days and so many weeks and so many days. And that's how I got a chance to go.
Did you ever record?
No.
Records? Oh,
no.
That's too bad.
No, everybody says it. That's pitiful because they were talking about it year before last and last year in Washington that I had too good a talent. But the people, I don't know what this envied me in some kind of way. I don't know. That's one of them things. I hope I sang on 2-3 recordings, people, and my name never was mentioned. Never have been mentioned. It's like Willie Johnson, you know, he never did get nowhere and had a good band. The sister was a good singer. So he never did get nowhere. So they said they were been talking about it. They were talking about last year in Washington. They said it's pitiful, you know, but I just didn't have nobody to help me.
Did you ever sing with Bessie Smith?
Oh, yeah, that's my stepsister.
Is she real? Ah. So the two of you sometimes would have a... Act together?
No, I never was with her. I was going with her in 37 when she got killed. Because she had sent for me, and I was sitting in a bus station in Jackson, Mississippi, going to her into Philadelphia. And when the news came with that she was killed. And at the end, so when I got to Clarksdale, Mississippi, she lived 15 minutes after I got there. 15 minutes, and she died.
Where was she when she died?
And Clarksdale.
Clarksdale, Mississippi. Mississippi was bad news.
Yeah, see, her husband was a playboy, and he fell in love with one of the chorus girls. And they had told her about it, but she was so devoted to him, she just didn't believe it. And he wanted her money. That's what he's after. And he couldn't get nobody killed. He had tried to get her killed, and he killed her himself. He ran into a Silver Freak sign. Silver took right across, like this is coming this way, the highway, and he took that car, and she was on J.C. Lincoln's. I've been on there, too. And she didn't want to leave out of Memphis that Sunday night, but nothing to do with him either, but he heard her go anyway. So he had this girl with him, and he just went around and drove right on into that Silver Freak truck. See, and but if they had seen after her, like they should have, probably she would have been living today. She would have had one leg, one arm, but they didn't. See, so when they got her, they carried her to this hospital, and they let her lay out there on the stretches, and she bled to death, because a little bit of piece of flesh about that big was holding her arm on, and her leg, all they had to do was twist it, and she's dark, 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 and she was almost as white as you said, lost so much, but a big old pan of blood just like that. And so when they found out who she was, it was too late. See, so she bled to death. And I saw him when I was in Philadelphia, in September, I lost my brother. He was nothing but a tramp, and I was so mad when I could kill him. But he didn't get none. Her son got everything. He got everything. But that's what he did. He killed her. And when they hunted for him, he took the girl and left, went to Memphis and hid. And it took him 5 weeks to find him, but they found him and this girl together. But now he's around there, this nothing but a tramp, looking like a, I don't know what, you know. He talked to me, and I talked to him, but I had, you know, say too much to him. So that's going to show you what money will do for you, mm-hmm. and love will do for you.
So your father was also a Bessie's
daddy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what was told to me. So I don't know.
Well, you...
No, my mother married her daddy.
Oh, I see.
My mother married her father. So my mother was married 4 times.
Oh.
They bringing them Indian people believing that marriage now. Believe in it, so that's what happened.
Would you ever grow up with Bessie Smith at all?
No, I would always go around her. Whenever she'd be, I'd go where she was or she'd come where I was at.
She was older then.
Oh, yeah, because yeah. when she got killed, she was 52 years old.
Yeah.
And you see, I was going to her in 37, it was on 24th of November 1937, over Thanksgiving. See, if I'd have got with her, she hadn't got killed, so she was going to put me in the business. She was going to back me up. See, and I'd have been all right, but since she got killed before it could happen. So that's what happened to her. But she was.
She did pretty good on your own, anyway.
I think so. I never been on no dope. I never smoked but two cigarettes in my life. You know, I never been in no kind of trouble. You know, so I thank God for it. I thank Him for it because He's done some good things for me. Some real good things for me. So I'm happy. But I just wish I had been recognized before I got this age in my younger days, you know. But
well, when did you accept the Lord? When
1962 right here.
At church or?
Mm-hmm.
How did that happen?
Well, I had got tired of traveling on the road. And I said to my ex-husband, I said to him, I said, James, I said, God bless you, the doctors are called Dr. Floyd. It's a background of it. Because I was sick. I got sick. And didn't nobody know what was wrong with me. And they carried me to Miss Rogers. I was staying at Miss Minnie L. Rogers. And they carried me to her doctor, Dr. Floyd. And he said, I can't see too much wrong with you. He said, do you know how to pray? I said, what you mean pray? That's what I said to him. I said, no. He wrote me out the Lord's Prayer. He said, you go and read this. I'm not going to give you no medicine. So you go and read this. He told me when to read it, how to read it, and I did it. It looked like I began to feel better. I just began to feel better and better. So and he called me and told me to come in. It was at the professional building, so I went. He said, oh, you're looking better. I said, I feel pretty good. He said, you've been doing what I told you? I said, yes. He said, you know what's wrong with you? I said, no. He said, just show sense. He said, the Lord's whipping you. He said, He's got something He wants you to do. And I laughed at him. I really did. So he's dead now. And I go by this church. Oh, they had an old church then. And I go by that church, and then people were singing, and that thing just rang in my ears. It just stayed with me. Well, I would go to church, and I'd go into church, and I enjoyed them people so much, and I just kept on. So I said to him one Friday, I think it was. I said, James, I said, I'm tired of traveling now. I said, if you stop gambling and drinking whiskey, I'll stop singing blues. He said, all right. That was our bargain. And next following Sunday, I joined church. He ain't joined church until today. So he told me, I ain't studying about you and your church folks. I said, that's all right then. So that was it. That was it. I said, this is it. I said, you go your way and I go mine. And I meant that. I said, everybody, that old show woman, this, that old show woman, that, blah, 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 blah. And I'm still right down there. Uh-huh. Right down there. So I married this man, and so we get along just fine. So I guess that's what God was intended for. I come here to stay. And I was here 6 weeks was an option, 3 more months. But I wasn't finish after 3 months. I got tired. I just didn't want no more of it. And I said, mm-hmm. So I'm there right now. See, but I'm having a lot of difficulties, but it's all right, you know. So that's how I come, 1962.
Now, is this a Baptist church?
First Baptist. Missionary Baptist, I'm going to say. Missionary. I say I've had five pastors since I've been there, since 1962. So, but it has got that dampness on me that it was some of me, and that's the trouble now. So I try to keep it,
Well, when you were at the Smithsonian, did they record your performances so that you mm-hmm. could
they did.
Have them on tape?
They did.
Yeah, that's good.
They took pictures. I got a lot of pictures here. They took of me and sent me a lot of pictures and books and a lot of stuff they would send me. They don't even write me no more. Nothing no more. They forgot about me now.
Well, do you sing in church now?
Mm-hmm.
Do you sing specials or do you sing in choir?
I don't sing in the choirs anymore. I came out the choirs. I lead the devotion, mm-hmm. and they have a program. I sing on the programs and whatnot.
Uh-huh.
I know, but I don't sing since I twisted this valley in my heart. I don't do too. There's too much on me. See, work with the junior choir and sing the choir number 2. Rehearsal every Wednesday and every Friday and going here and going there in the church. It was too much in my heart at my age, so I stopped. In fact, the doctor told me I would have to stop for at least 3 years. Mm-hmm. So find and see how many bottle with. But otherwise, I go to different, I'm on some programs, and I got a lady's got to call me a while ago for going on a program. And I'm on, I wish over here on the 13th of next month, they're giving the black pageant down to the municipal auditorium. That's something beautiful to see.
Oh, really?
They're raising funds for transportation for the elder people. Mm-hmm. And I'm on that program.
So you're going to sing a couple of songs there?
I want to do a dramatic, a drama.
Oh, wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Oh. So I won those trophies. See, I'll show them to you. I'll keep them covered up. You can see them right away. You can get them.
I see them.
Yeah, where are these from?
Right down in the Municipal Auditorium on the program.
Manatee Council of the Aging. Oh, this is great. These are for, would you do dramas?
I came in second place.
Yeah.
I want to make first place this year. They got my special request, a popular demand for me to be back this year. I got my goal set for $1,000, but I don't think I'm going to get it because the church ain't going to support it.
What's that?
And I'm asking different people to give me a donation.
Now what, do you do like a dramatic reading or something?
I talk and then I close it with a song. Mm. I do that. I got some here. I'm going to pray for y'all before you go.
Oh, would you? Yeah, mm-hmm. That'd be great.
It's all right to cut this off a spoon?
Yeah. You having trouble with that? Oh, okay. Don't trip there.
Now, this was Sunday. I'm the vice president of our citywide mission, about 1,500 people.
Mm.
But it wasn't that many then. I was going to hear this.
Come on, I'm waiting on you. You don't have to wait on Jesus. Jesus is already here. He's well within.
That's the lady was speaking. That's our teacher, but that's just what I wanted to hear.
What, and this was last Sunday?
It's last go Sunday. Oh. In Sarasota.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Now, I got something else I want you to hear that I did.
That's a record button. You don't want to hit that. Yeah. Okay.
No, it'll be on a minute.
Okay. Now, is this you?
Well, you hear it, you see, it comes on you here. I want to hear a lady do a reading. It's a real good reading. I want you to hear it. This song that I wrote, I want you to hear it too. And everybody's going to
go. From within hast thou that living.
No, turn it. Let it go back further. That's the speaker. Let it go back.
Back further?
Yeah. This is old folks' aid home. It sounds like that, but there you go.
This is Mrs. Ernestine Brooks.
Uh-huh. She's a school teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Here's one I did, and I think this is one I want you to hear. Uh-huh. Now, this is the one I want you to hear. This is a song that I wrote.
Mm. Well, Mary, when we do our festival in May, we were wondering if your health is good, if you might be able to come up and sing for us.
I will, but I haven't seen no blues though.
That's all right.
That's okay.
You can, in fact,
yeah, it would be for short periods of time.
I told him indefinite over there that I didn't want to do it.
Well, I remember one of your best numbers at Washington was when the Saints Go Marching In.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
I want to do that down here.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's a spiritual.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
See, now that whatever you want to sing is fine. Mm-hmm. I mean, we don't want to. Okay.
I like when Saints Go Marching In. I'm crazy about that.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody else about that, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, we would be able to pay your transportation up there and your, you know, room and board and everything, and a little something on top of that, some money on top of that. I'm not sure exactly how much.
We'll get back in touch with you on the phone.
Yeah.
We will pay you.
Yeah, I promise we will pay you.
Yeah, we won't let it go 2 years before you get paid.
That do make me feel bad, because I like Steve. And then what I'm saying, that Steve, they won't even write me or call me, do nothing now.
Well, we'll give them a call.
I feel bad. I really do feel bad over it. Because I know they could, Smithsonian could have done sent that for
$300.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
While we listen to the song next
thing, in the
land of the Battle Hard, to get ready to receive the Lord's blessing, as the teacher come forward, let us have a strong determination this year. Let us have a larger bag. Not another one, but a little larger. We will keep on to it and make a little larger bag. And as we began to pack the message into the bag, that we will never run out when we get ready to take the Christ. Each month,
each evangelist.
Evangelist. What's her name?
Annabelle
McDaniel. Better. I didn't bring my sheets in. Betsy will take them in. She lived right around here?
No, she's in Sarasota.
Sarasota, okay. Well, maybe if we asked you to come up, maybe the two of you could come up together.
3-6-8-3-0-6-0-6. So she writes her own song?
Well, she writes everything. She just now, she's got a poem book.
That's your church?
No, that's the Sarasota, the Citywide Mission Son, and I'm a vice president.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mary, would you mind if I took a couple of pictures?
Okay.
I'd also try and see if I can take some pictures of your
mother.
Yeah.
Focus on that. I'm going to back that door far behind you. so bad. I love Steve Nim. I just hate it so bad the way he done, the way he did. I don't know what is it and why. And he may not be concerned about my money now since he left there, but he still should see that I get it, because that could hurt him.
Yeah.
That's true.
You know, he could have hurt me, you know, otherwise, because people would know that. You know, I ain't, you all the first one I said anything to about it.
Well, I'm glad you did, because I think they'd be, somebody would be upset with that.
Well, yeah, they're usually pretty good about
that. Should I wind it all the way back?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, where y'all want me?
Just sit right where you are.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to have a flash. I'm just hoping.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oops.
Yeah. Just.
Two is
the same. Well, that's, no, it's different. That's the Christmas song that I wrote.
Oh,
good. Test. You're used to having pictures, so they tell you, great.
What I was wondering if I could possibly take that and this one outside. I got a close, and then I'll just lay it down flat and try to get it.
And give that book right there.
The pictures.
This is the birthday part I had. My sister Bessie.
Is it that dog?
Now this is, I've got some little children, preachers, plays any kind of instrument you want to hear.
Huh.
The oldest brother is just now 19, from 7 up. I wish you could hear him.
Mm. Are they with your church?
Let you hear him on this tape. You hear him on this tape. Oh, God bless you. So you want this one too?
Yeah, I'll take one out at a time and then bring it back in.
She's a preacher too.
Now who is this?
That's Mrs. Hall. She's emceeing this program I'm on. I want you to hear these little children too, okay? And I'll let you talk to their parents. I can give you their first. They're good. They just need somebody to help them. And they'd be a drawing card. And that little boy can preach. I wish I had them with me. Oh, making this catch up. He played organ. They got their own little organ, everything. Their own everything. And they were, the mother used to be a drunkard, and she got drunk and burned up six of her children right down in the burnt house right down here on 11th. And God gave us six more. I see every one of them go, I see them come, and I train them right here in my house from that to here, right here in this yard, right here, right here in this yard. And we the best of friends.